Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff,
they comfort me. I'd like to walk with this last aspect of those two verses that we read, and certainly with all the help that the Lord will and can provide.
With this thought in mind,
he watches over us.
He watches over us.
It's still amazing that we live in such a technologically advanced society where darkness is still able to get through the cracks. Spend billions of dollars to make us safe when some well-meaning, and I'm using this in a contradictory way, well-meaning meaning that they don't mean well, just means that they know what they're doing to do wrong. Amen. Hackers, they just want to mess your life up because it's fun. They just want to show people, the government, that they can do it. They ain't got nothing against you. That's not the whole point. It's just the point is they want you to know that they know.
I'm going to say that again.
Sometimes they just want you to know that they know. They might not even ever mess with the Equinox and all them other people keep telling you about. They're going to send you some information after they took all your money. Give you a free membership for a whole year. That costs about $25.
Right, right, right.
And they done took about $25,000. But you need to have at least some measure of assurance that when I can't watch out for myself, somebody is watching out for me.
And this psalm here has some measure of continuity. I mean, throughout it does. I asked you to read this before in a devotional way. Don't try to exegete it. That means don't try to break down the word study. That's all right. You should do that too. But there comes time when you want to read, particularly the Psalms and certain things, in a devotional way. Devotionally means that you are only seeking to read and to see how what you're reading are resonating with your soul as it relates to the Lord. In other words, you're just reading it. You're going over it again, not to be deep, however, so that what it says will go deep.
Yes, sir.
Amen. See, that's what devotional reading is. Again, it's not just saying that I read this. It doesn't mean that I'll read it and get it over with. You know, I can make a check mark now. Got my devotions in, boom. And I read that, boom. No, that's not what it is. No, it's that you sit there with it until it sits in with you.
Amen.
Are you with me? It's where meditation coincides with a devotional approach to your walk with the Lord. And meditation is when you allow again that which is there in a repetitious way go all through your thinking and your thoughts. Are you hearing me? Again, it's not trying to be so theologically adept, even though you want to get it right. Amen. You can't just say anything. And amen. And you can't just think anything. The Bible, the scripture gets in your thoughts. And as you allow God's spirit to work, you receive a transforming of the renewing of your mind. And that transformation, again, is not a notional thing. That means it's just not so that you can have Bible recitation. That's good. That's a start. But you want Bible meditation so you can have Bible transformation.
And so the psalmist here, when you read this, this is one of those things, one of those psalms, again, all of them really, but here, because I'm trying to capture what David is saying. And
And we'd been here for a little while. We had been here for quite a while. And still, I'm still catching up. Yes, I'm still catching up. I'm still discovering what it is he's getting at. Though it seems so readily available to us because, number one, we done heard it so many times. And number two, because there are other things that are synonymous with this in the scriptures. It's not a new thing when they talk about a shepherd and the sheep. But see here again, you know, I mentioned to you that as you read, if you read it through in one sitting and slowly, you'll see the transitional nature of the psalm where it goes from the Lord and his personal relationship with him. That is maintained, but how he causes us to see it and to grasp it, it goes from speaking to God in the third person, him, and then it goes down to the second person. And in other words, what it means is he's speaking it to him, he's speaking about God, but then he starts to get to the point where he's talking to God. And he's doing it again using this metaphor, we call it, the way he's using the illustration of the shepherd and the sheep. But again, to capture some of this, and it doesn't mean you have to all the time, but it captures some of this. You know, you want to understand what this means in their culture. You know, we said that before. You know, we want to see, we see dogs and, you know, Rockwellers and all those kind of things, but we don't see sheep going down there. And you know what I'm saying? And no, I don't know. Y'all gotta pray for me. I just want you to understand. But see, I can associate the Lord is my shepherd. I want that one. The Lord is not my Doberman Pinscher. You know what I'm saying? That just ain't working for me. You know, so I got to go back to see what he's saying here. So then that being done, I can come up to where I am and make the association. Are you with me here? Without leaving this, because this is the Lord. And he is his shepherd. But God did not discard himself from me relationally because I didn't live back then. Because the Lord is my shepherd. And whatever benefits David got, I got it twofold. Come on here now. I ain't jealous of the Old Testament saints. I have camaraderie with them because there are saints. Old Testament saints and New Testament saints. Old Testament righteous, New Testament righteous. Old Testament wicked, New Testament wicked. But they're still the same Lord. But as I looked at this and saw and saints and walked through this, and he starts to show us the benefits. And so we got up to the point where we see where he takes them. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And that means he won't because of who's with him. And it's simplistic because he's with me. That's what he said. That's what shoes the fear out or causes you not to have it at times. And I confess to you, I told you before, that times and that fear does come into my life, but then my ability to maintain my sensibility comes to me because the Holy Spirit gets me to understand who it is, the invisible one who's still present. Come on here now. God is a reality. Not just in reality in terms of he's an idea or a notion, but God is real. He's a real person. He's not just personal bull. He is a person. You know what I'm saying? He's not just somebody who makes you feel good. He's God. And so if he says he's with me, that's just what he means. The transcendent God is still the God who is omnipresent. Wait a minute, he's up there and down here at the same time. Ain't that right? He ain't never, you heard it before. Yes, he did. He's up there and down here at the same time. God never gets to someplace. He never develops anything. It's nothing that God ever learns because he knows everything all at the same time. And my God, and if I need some consolation, I certainly can get it from him. And being the God that he is and knowing that he's with me, that should do something with your fears. The uncertainty causes trepidation,
But when you know that you know that you know, then that should help you with what you don't know.